Okay, Ron, thank you so much. And also, along with the study number, now the study number is in my notes here, and it is study 113 in our study that we started a long time ago on wisdom and dealing down through and got involved with the workman's interlinear, because this is what the object of the study was to begin with, was to get an understanding of what the Lord had given to Paul in these last seven epistles, and to get some understanding of the way that God gives us his wisdom, and that we could see it down through the time period that we dealt with to do this. And so that was the reason for the study. And we got, Lori and I got last week, we got down to through verse 2 after we looked at the introductory notes in 1 Timothy. And I'm going to read 2 again, and then we'll pick up with verse 3 and start from there, because it deals with the introduction here and the admonition. And it says, to Timothy, mine own son or child. The word there is technon, in continuation of time. My own son in the faith. And faith there is pistis, the living, divinely implanted principle. You can call it Holy Spirit or the indwelling grace. But we see grace, mercy, and peace together here. It said, from both God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And we looked at Titus 1:4. There, as we went down through, and then we get in to what Paul is telling Timothy here. And part of the admonition is the charge. He is going to, in verse 3, he's going to give, Timothy a little charge, because he is going into Macedonia and he's leaving Timothy in place here. So it says, as I besought, and you know, some of the old words are, I pray thee. Like, if you want somebody to do something, you're going to ask them, I pray you to do this. And it's the verb of the word pray. And that's what the word besought is. In verse 3, it says, as I besought or asked, I pray thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So the admonition there is the charge to Timothy to stay with them, keep them straight, and keep them going on what you know and what you understand and what you've heard of me while I'm in Macedonia until we come together again. And you kind of keep them straight. That's kind of the way it looks here. And that's, again, in my notes, it says to call aside, to appeal to, by the way of exhortation, entreaty, and comfort or instruction. And that pray there is the verb, and it's parakaleo, to be thee to abide. And to abide there is in the Strong's was 4357 in the Greek coinage there, and that's to remain in place at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou or you mightest charge some or certain ones that they teach no other doctrine. There are no other doctrines. So this was in the mind of Paul that evidently that this was going on. And I think what Jack wrote after we read this out here, the way it comes down to us in the Koine Greek, is, even as I besought you to remain in Ephesus, going into Macedonia, that you might charge some not to teach a different doctrine. And that's pretty much the same way as it come down to the more modern English there. And so this was Jack's notes here on this verse of Scripture. He said it may be that Timothy entertained other ideas, since the word for besought is a strong one. And Paul wants Timothy to remain in Ephesus while he proceeds to Macedonia. Various teachings are swirling around the Asian region. And so I think this was the reason why Paul left Timothy there, that it be there for a reason, that is to solidify the teachings of Paul and stop the heterodoxy that was evidently was floating around there, that it wasn't what exactly what Paul wanted to be looked at or to be taught. And then there's three or four places that we need to look at and to look at the Scripture. And one of them is two places in 1 Corinthians. So let's turn back to 1 Corinthians and look at those two. And then we'll get the rest of them as we go along. 1 Corinthians, let's see, I've got the page 1702. If you have a companion Bible. And it is in chapter 4 and verse 18. Is what we're going to look at here. And I'll just read 17 and 18. And it says, even in Corinthians, it says, "For this cause have I sent you unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everyone, I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come unto you." See, so he has left Timothy here now at this place when he goes into Macedonia, evidently for the same, kind of the same reason there. And that is 4 through 1 Corinthians 4:18. Now we want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll get there in just a second. 1 Corinthians 15:12. And it's split up on two different pages. So, page 1721 is where it starts. It said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So, evidently, some of these people that he was dealing with here in Corinth were Sadducees, because Sadducees the sect of the Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in resurrection. It's really hard to know what they do believe in if you take those two items away from them. But the teaching here is, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So he asked the question in that way. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15 goes on and deals with that whole subject there. So that's the one thing there that needed to be brought out. Now we're going to look at, let's go back and look at Romans while we're this close here. Let's go back and look at Romans, and we're going to deal with chapter 16 in Romans, which is the last chapter, I think. And Romans 16, and we're going to look at 7 to 20. So, in Romans 16, we're going to read 7 through 20 here. And this is another list of people that was dealing with Paul and his ministry. Salute Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelias, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodon, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which laboreth much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asineritus, Philegion, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermanes, and the brethren which are with thee, or with them. Salute Philogelus and Julia, Nurses and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. And they that are such serve not our Lord Christ Jesus, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so that was in Romans. And all these people, and I guess I didn't do a good job on their on giving these names out. But boy, they are unusual names for sure. We want to go to one other place while we're here, and that's in Colossians. And let's see. we want to go to, let's see, Colossians 4, verses 4 through 8. And it hasn't been long since we've been here. But let's go back and see again. It says, well, let's go to 3 and go through 8. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Titus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Because this Titus is Paul's here. He was Paul's postman. He was taking the epistle to the Colossian people because Paul himself, had never visited them and was never there face to face. And so therefore, Tychicus was one of them, and he could explain the stuff that was in there that hadn't been explained that clearly in Paul's writings. But Paul's generally pretty clear in what he says and teaches, because it's from the Spirit of the Lord to do that. But, you know, this is just another buffer there that gives these people understanding of what they are about to hear and what's about to be read to them for sure. Okay, let's go back and look at 4 again in the King James Version. It says, and this is still part of the charge, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. So the apostle Paul realizes that people in those days left to get involved in who they were akin to, as men still are today. There's a lot of people that don't do anything much else when they get older than to look at your genealogy. I can take you back to 10 grandpas. And so someone did this for me, and all I had to do was to kind of put it in a chart form that I could talk to my kinfolk when they come into my house, where I wouldn't have to open this book and go from page to page to page to page to talk to them. I got all on one big sheet. And so that's what I done is I went through my genealogy. But as you always do, you learn things that you didn't really, maybe didn't want to learn or didn't know about your family. It's kind of like these things that all of a sudden crop up, and you say, well, I didn't know people was involved in stuff like this back then. They've always been involved with whatever man does. And so that's the reason Paul says might be a good idea just to stay away from that, because it don't help you much toward what it is that you're trying to teach here. And so Paul understood that. He says neither. That first word is neither. And that means not to involve oneself or give heed to fables. And then he goes on about this muthos, and that, this is the Greek word muthos, meaning folklore, tales that are handed down from one family to the next family to the next family. And a lot of that is how we learn something about our kinfolk that we might have never known if it hadn't been handed down. And one of my things in my family was that one person, one cousin, way back, had slaves. And he lived in North Carolina, a place called Gold Valley, North Carolina. It's not far from Marion, North Carolina. And they had a river that ran down through the edge of his property there. And there was gold could be found in that river. And they tell me that even today, people still go in there and mine in that river or pan in that river for gold. But he did it in a big way because he had slaves. And half of his slaves he took to the river, and they'd sandbag part of the river and move the river over, and they'd dig a ditch down through there, the sand down to the gravel. And he went to the mint in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they told him how to fix this thing to put it in, and then they could turn that water back down that ditch, and it would wash the water out of the gravel in the bottom of the river and wash the gold into these containers. And he would do that twice a year. And he split the money with his slaves. He actually paid his slaves in gold to work there, or with the money from the mint, I guess. And whenever anything come up, the slaves would go to battle for my cousin. They said, you didn't, as long as he was around his slaves, you didn't mess with him. Whatever he said was went. And so, this is the tales that I got handed down from my family. This mission it a little bit. The muthos, the tales handed down by folklore and endless genealogies, that's histories of those of kin and of renown, showing only questions of the natural mind. It's things that are not really of God. And it says, these which minister questions rather than godly edifying. And the godly edifying there is, you can change that to dispensational truth. Because genealogies is not going to help you. That's history in the past. You can't change or turn around or whatever. You might know it, and it might make a good conversation piece, but Paul was trying to show that the teachings of Christ here, the body of Christ, is what really needs to be talked about rather than all this other stuff that comes up. So he said our faith should be godly edifying, which is telling people about the mystery of God, the mystery truth of God. The, what we can look forward to. Not looking back, but looking forward. Okay, it says full stop there in 4. But it also says in my notes that it does say in the King James Version, so do. But that so do has been added there. So I added it to my notes also.
Yeah, it's
in that sense, because this is where the teaching is. This is what we need. Paul says this is what we need to do. Okay. Let's look and see what Jack says about it, and let's just read down out of the Koine Greek. It says, not to give heed to fables and genealogies endless, which searching out bring rather than administrations of God, which in faith. And bring it on down to the more modern Greek, more modern English. I don't know if this changes much. It says, nor to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which rather brings out searchings than the administration of God, which is in faith. And so, this is something that could sidetrack us some, though.
Smoke screen.
Most times, a lot of times. And, I doubt if I'd ever got into it very much if it hadn't already been in book form for me. But it had been done and paid for by a man in Harvest, Alabama. And it was for one of my cousins, far back cousins, that had moved to Rayburn Gap, Georgia, which is not too far from Clayton, Georgia. And it was a 1,220-page book. Now, you think about a book being 1,220 pages for one family. And so my family went back, like I said, 10 grandpas, and in Ireland, I was kin to the Earl of Argyll, which is some kind of special wool that grows on sheep. And so evidently, he must have been a shepherd or a keeper of the sheep that has special kinds of sheep, because they make like socks and fancy clothes out of this Argyle wool. So that's enough for that. Let's go. He said they were those, Jack says they were those who were adhering to certain myths which were propounded by various creeds of Satan, such as the Gnostics and the Judaizers. The Gnostics were fond of creating various genealogical myths by which they could propound their specious theories. To search these things out took a great amount of time. The results were vapid and unproductive. The edifying of God's Word teaches faith as the basis of true learning, and faith produces truth and growth. And so he gives us a little scripture to look at here also. Let's start off going to Titus. We'll go back beyond 2 Timothy and get into Titus. And uh, We're going to look at Titus 1:14. Yeah. Titus 1:14, and this is on page 1817 if you have a companion Bible. And Titus 1:14 says this, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And he also says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. So, you see, it's not a real good thing when you get involved in something that's not going to expand your understanding a little bit. Okay. There's another place there on 18:19 that's in Titus that we need to look at too. I don't know why he separated them like that, but it's Titus 3:9. So if you're still in Titus, you got your finger there, let's go back to 3:9. And it says this, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So, in one place, you know, he talks about one, and in another place he talks about the other. So I guess that's the reason they're two different places that were marked out that he wanted us to look at. Now, we've looked at Titus. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. We're going to look at a couple of places in Ephesians. And one of them is in Ephesians, the first chapter. Okay, Ephesians 1:10. It's on page 1760. And it's part of it's on one page and part of it's on the other page. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which on earth, even in him. So, that is Ephesians 1:10. And turn over to Ephesians 3. We're going to look at Ephesians 3:2 and Ephesians 9. It says, if you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God which is given me to you. And he goes on to talk about the revelations. It was known unto him, the mystery, he says, which I wrote in a few words. And you go on down to 9, and it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world or in ages past hath been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. So that's what he wanted us to look at in Ephesians 1:10 and also 3:2 and 3:9. Okay. We've already looked at Titus 3:9. So we got two places here to go. We got Colossians 1:15. So let's go back to Colossians 1:15. There hasn't been too many studies ago till we were here. Okay, Colossians 1:15. It's on page 1782, and it says this. Talking about Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, full stop. Now, if you want to know what the rest of that is, just look at 16. For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Pretty much tells you what we need to look at there. And also, let's go back to 2 Timothy 4:4 for a minute. 2 Timothy 4:4. And it says this. Well, we want to look at 4:4 and 4:7. Or 4:4-2:7, I guess. It says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, in dear afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them. All them. Also. And love is appearing. There won't be any left. Love, look for the appearing. That's the gist of the last part of 2 Timothy. It won't, probably won't be the last we'll be in there either, but let's go back to 1 Timothy. How much time we got left?
9:13.
Okay, let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 of 1 Timothy 1 says this. And this deals with faith and a good conscience defined. Now the end of the commandment or the charge is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. So it says now to the end of the mandate or charge or command. That's Strong's 3853. to the end of the commandment is charity, or the charge is charity. And this is the word agape. It's a common word that the Greek used for love. It ain't the one that deals with the word Philadelphia that we have. But it's out of a pure heart. And I made my notes there and says, by Holy Spirit that keeps the mind and the heart of one in alignment. This is the job of the Spirit, that it keeps a person's mind and their heart in alignment, that the Holy Spirit, through that individual, can do this teaching that needs to be done to fill in where Paul is soon going to be gone from. And this is our, this is our charge, that we're to carry it on, to take it on. Because Paul could look down the road, I think, and see his end coming up. And there's going to need to be people that carries this ministry on. And certainly it's a ministry that needs to be carried on. So, and it says, and of a good conscience, meaning to be void of offense toward God and toward man. And you can find that in Acts 24:16. But I just made a note of that there. So, and it says, and of faith unfeigned. And that is without offense or dissimulation. And so we've got several things to look at here with five. But let's read what Jack says first. Five, it says, the butt end of the charge is love. Out of a pure heart and conscience, good in faith, unpretended. It's not to be pretended. It's to be spoken as it has been given in truth. But the end of the charge is to have out of a pure heart and a good conscience and unpretended faith. And God is not looking for those who would parade their beliefs externally through realistic pomp and feigned external love. The love and faith of the body member grows together as ivy twines around a tree. Pretense must take a back seat to the genuine outworking of the love of the brother. And it said the charge is spoken of earlier in this chapter, but now Paul is completing the charge with these injunctions. Look at the pure heart speaking, good conscience, and unpretended faith. Oh, what a joy that is. And then he leaves this other for us to see here too. In five. So, and there's, let's see, three places in Romans. Let's go back to Romans 12 for a minute. This will probably wind up our study for tonight when we get through these. But there's three places here that Paul wants to go back to in Romans and look at here. And one of them is in chapter 12. And it is verse 9. 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation or unfeigned. You don't have to put on love. That is something that should be just like opening your eyes. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Okay, that's the first one of them. And Romans 12:9. Now, let's look at, while we're here, let's look at 13:10. All you gotta do is turn the page. If you have a companion Bible, and it says this, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That is the next place, and then let's go all the way back to Romans 1. And there's something there that Paul wants us to see. And understand. Romans 1, 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So that's the difference between the love and for those that have not that love that we're talking about. Their foolish hearts were dark, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, that's what we got out of Romans. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and look at chapter 6 and verse 6. Second Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 6:6 says this. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. That's what Paul was telling the Corinthians. That's how they come to them. That understanding of that. 2 Corinthians 6:6. Now, where were we? Let's see. While we're here, let's go to 2 Timothy. Okay, it's on page 1911, and it says, flee also youthful lust, But follow righteousness. Follow righteousness. Faith, charity, peace with them that call out, that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. That's 22 and 23 in Timothy. Now, we've got James, James 3:17. Going on that way. Okay, just a second. It's here. James 3:17. 18:52. If you got a companion Bible, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that makes peace. That's in the book of James. Okay, page 1852. Okay, let's go on while we're here and look at Peter. 1 Peter 1:22. It's on page 1856. And it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And again, in 1 Peter 3:16, and that's on page 1860. And it says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing.
Amen.
Okay. That is 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter 3. Okay. And there was one other place there that let's look at. Let's look at 1 John while we're in the vicinity. It says in 1 John, it says, see 1 John 3:23. Okay. That is on the bottom of page 1874, in the first part of 1875. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Christ Jesus and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him, and hereby we know that he abide in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So that's what Jack wanted us to see in 1 John 3, and it was not with the other scriptures, so I wanted to go ahead and bring that out also. So that's down through 5, and we can probably end there and bring up study 114 next time and go from there. But there's quite a lot of scripture here that Jack wanted us to look at as we go along through 1 Timothy here. And he is giving this to Timothy as a kind of a charge or a command to do these things and keep them in it. And you see it, it's going right down through the love factor. And so we went down through 5, and verses 6 through 10 deals, as we're coming up on the next study, it deals with those that have turned away from Paul and his teachings. And so he is giving you the one hand in love, and the next study will be those that he's going to deal with as they have turned away from his teaching or have kind of taken a different fork in the road, so to speak. And so we'll pick up that next time and go on. But man, with all you've got to look at here and everything put together, it just takes a little time to get going in this, because there's just so much there that Paul is trying to get in and put into place, because, you know, this is the last two epistles, basically, other than we haven't looked at much in Titus and Philemon yet, but that's the only other two books left that deals with these last seven books. And Paul, or letters. But Paul realizes that once he's gone, somebody else is going to have to pick up the mantle. And so this is the reason he gives us this information, and as Jack has pointed out here, that it's necessary to bring it up in a way that, you know, it might burn into our minds and hearts that, you know, this is our job now. We're going to have to pick up the mantle and carry it on. To feel full of the body of Christ, to bring it to pleroma, it's got to be done by somebody. And who knows who we might talk to or might say something to get them to see and understand. And that might be the one that fulfills the Word of God.
Could be.
Could be. Who knows that that's the way it might work out. So here we are. So it's very important that we take the time to look these things up and get involved with them. Thank you for your time and